Markets today have had some outside market influences, but what's the overall feel of what we're seeing in both the corn and the soybeans? That's where we're going to kick it off today. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and I'm Susan Littlefield. We're being joined today by Jeff Peterson. Jeff is with Heartland Farm Partners. So what is, as you look at both corn and soybeans at this point, what's the kind of feel and direction you seem to be getting from that trade?
Well, you know, as you sit back and look at it, big picture, we'd had some nice strength that was happening in the soybean market. Now, unfortunately, we're not seeing that here today. We're actually closing on our lows here today. You know, corn has just been struggling. And the way I kind of sum it up best is that currently what we have is the funds are long on the soybean side. They're short on the wheat side. They're short on the corn side. And so what that's caused us to do is, as we move along, continue to see, especially in the old crop corn side, we've just continued to see any little bounce in there has been sold, and that's given us weakness in that market. Now, over on the soybean side, we've had a lot of help that came out from the proposed numbers from the RVO that went ahead and drove up the price of soybean oil, which has improved crush margins. And we know, based off of what we saw from the NAPO crush numbers that last week, that soybean oil stocks are some of the tightest we've had going all the way back to 04. So that's really kind of helped us on the crush margin side. And that had been giving both the old and the new crop soybean market some strength until we came in today. But that's kind of where we're sitting right now and how the markets look, Susan.
So did it come as a surprise to you that we saw those highs overnight in the soy oil compartments?
Well, no, it really didn't. I think on the soybean oil side, the other component to that, you know, besides what we've seen out there for the proposed RVO numbers, we have to look that we continue to see some, you know, strength in that crude oil market. And the crude oil market, we know, has picked up strength. It's got a conflict premium, we'll call it this time, because what we're seeing in the conflict or war, whatever you want to call it, between Israel and Iran. And I think the market continues to try to price in a little bit of premium into energies overall, because they're probably pretty confident that we may not see much additional infrastructure demand in Iran from, you know, say from Israel. But one of the things that they have to keep in mind is what could Iran end up doing with the Strait of Hormuz? And the reason that's such a big deal is that about 20% of all the world's oil production from the export side does flow through there. Now, if that happened, then what we would see, instead of having this crude oil market sitting here in the 75s, very quickly, if that happened and it looked like it was going to be drawn out for a while, you'd very quickly see crude oil, you know, 100 or more. And then in that case, that would spill over and that would give us strength, additional strength over there on the soybean side. I also believe that would also then give us strength over there on the corn side also.
So how much do you see funds playing into the role of the markets at this point?
Yeah, the funds, they're playing a big role right now. It's probably the most seen over there on the corn side, in particular on the old crop corn. And I believe the way they're playing this is that, you know, if you look all the way back to February, they've been in the process of selling off from their long position all the way to their short position. You know, from where they peaked out, they probably have sold off over, you know, 2.5 billion bushels of corn. And they were confident doing that, and it's rewarded them well so far. And what they continue to see here is that we have enough old crop corn to get through, even though the stocks are tight. And even though we are very tight on the world basis, they go, you know what, we've got enough to get through because we've got that Safrina corn crop. Now, that Safrina corn crop is coming off very slowly. As a matter of fact, as of right now, honestly, harvest is only just a little bit under 10%, and that's lagging where we should be for this time. A couple reasons for that would be, one, that the moisture of the crop itself is staying, you know, rather high, and that's really been because we've had some late-season rains that have kept that crop in pretty good condition. We also know that because of the very dry conditions we had last fall, that Safrina corn crop did get planted a little bit later than what they'd like to, so that's part of the reason that we're seeing that harvest go slow. But since the harvest is going on, what the market knows is that there's a crop coming out of South America. It hasn't hit the export channels completely yet. That is going to be ready and available to go out and be able to handle any of the needs of those different world buyers.
Well, we've got some temperatures that are warming up around the Midwest, not just in Nebraska and Kansas. Why are we not seeing the grains, specifically that is, the corn market, react to these 100-plus temperatures for the next couple of days?
You know, normally this time of year when we see those type of forecasts coming in, we would normally say that, you know what, we sure would expect to look at the corn market and see it up strongly. But I think a few things that we're seeing there. One is that it doesn't look like it's going to be a stationary ridge it's going to set up in here. Secondly, we've had some moisture a little bit ahead of it. Even though we're a little bit tight on the subsoil moisture side in parts of Nebraska and also parts in western Iowa spilling on over into the northern parts of Illinois, I think they believe that there's been enough moisture here lately to kind of get us by. The other side of that also is the fact that if you look at the next 7 days, there is going to be some storms that are coming over the top of that ridge. It's going to dump some pretty heavy precip, and we'll see whether or not it materializes or not in parts of, you know, Nebraska, Iowa, on into Minnesota, maybe catching parts of Wisconsin as it goes, you know, north and east. And as a result of that, I think they believe that the crops will be just fine. We'll be able to get past these warm conditions. Now, what could happen as we go forward, if for some reason we see that heat persist, or if we see the heat persist and then also along with that see some of the precip back off, which there's been a lot of talk that that could happen. It just hasn't materialized. You know, that's the type of thing that it would take to keep this market moving higher, Susan.
Well, we're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Jeff Peterson. He's with Heartland Farm Partners. And Jeff, you talk about the weather from a corn perspective. My understanding, it's brought some concerns as well for this wheat, trying to get the harvest done. Too much rain in areas of the Texas, Oklahoma panhandle up into Kansas with some quality concerns. What are you hearing out there, and is it that much of a concern? Is the market's just looking for something?
Well, I think a few things. If you look back to last Wednesday, and it seems like a long time ago with the no trade yesterday, but we look back to this Wednesday, and you know, wheat had a really strong trade. And a lot of that was coming because we saw some weather conditions, some rain, some winds come across parts of Kansas. And there is some concern there and what that did to the wheat crop. We've continued to have wetness that's came across, you know, parts of Oklahoma, northern parts of Texas. And there has been a lot of talk that we would see some quality problems developing in that crop. And when we see those quality problems developing, we know ultimately that would drive up our price of what we're going to see on the wheat side, but it also could be a big competitor then if we've got some additional wheat that's going to be, you know, food or a feed grade that's going to spill over then and compete with corn. The other thing we've seen that's gave the wheat market a little bit of strength is we've seen some dryness showing up part, you know, across the parts of Europe, on over into the Ukraine, also over into the major grain producing areas in the southern part of Russia. And as a result, that did give the market a little boost. You know, as we into trade on Wednesday, hasn't seen the carry through or, you know, have the follow through into trade today. But I still think there would be a possibility to see that happen.
Well, we did see some export purchases announced this morning. Besides that, how do you see demand for both corn and soybeans going?
You know, overall, demand is really holding in there very well. To give you an idea, this morning we had around 900,000 metric tons of corn was what the corn export number was. And as of right now, we'd only need about 9,000. So we basically, for all practical purpose, have met USDA's numbers. As a result, probably going down the road, it does open the door to see an additional increase on the demand side, especially as it relates to the exports, probably 50, 60 million bushels. And overall, on the bean side, had a really nice number, I think, for this time of year on the beans. Now, what's really interesting here is that right now on the bean side, you know, we're very competitive on beans. And as a matter of fact, we could see some of our exports increase here. On the corn side, it'll be just the opposite going forward. I think we can come in, as I mentioned, even higher than where we're at on the export side. But we are going to have some heavy competition coming in from South America, in particular, that safrinha corn crop.
And that's something that we've been expecting, especially since they sounds like their numbers, as you mentioned, are doing pretty good.
Yes, they are. Overall, they are doing good.
So where do we see, is there the possibility for the move for the corn and the soybeans to see some higher numbers?
Yeah, we do believe going down the road. We think there's more room on the soybean side. Probably not a lot yet, but there is some more room. There would be definitely more room if we'd get some weather conditions that were, you know, hot and dry coming in here. Over on the corn side, we've been disappointed in the corn action. We think we will get some additional hot, dry conditions that will come in to give us a bounce in the market, but something that we have to be aware of and think about. We are sitting here on June 20th. If for some reason the weather conditions would hold in here and we would have some good weather conditions over the next 2 weeks, and then as we look out 2 weeks after that, the weather forecast doesn't look threatening, that's at the point then we're going to have to say, you know what, the funds have leaned on this thing, the market's kind of turned in here, and at that point then we'd have to be looking for some lower prices, Susan.
So where do you think quarterly stocks and planted acres report end of month will be sitting?
Yeah, that's a big, you know, that's a good one. So let's break that apart, and we'll start on first on the quarterly stocks report. As we look at the quarterly stocks, I don't think we're going to see a lot of surprises. I know there's a lot of talk out there because of the action where we've seen more weakness in the old crop market than we have the new crop. A lot of people are saying, well, either the demand isn't there, or did they basically underestimate the size of last year's crop, and it's actually going to find some bigger stock numbers. I personally don't think we're going to see too much of a change on the quarterly stocks. I think the bigger difference we're going to find is as we take a look at planted acreage. One of the things we know that because of the wetness that happened out in the, you know, the Ohio River Valley and also down into the Delta region, we know that maybe that had some impact on corn acres, but overall it sure feels like maybe the corn acres just a little bit bigger than what the planting intentions report would have shown. If that does happen, then that should mean that we come in and see a little bit smaller acres on the bean side, which unfortunately that put a little bit of pressure on the corn, but would sure help the bean market.
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this day. And of course, have a wonderful weekend. It's Jeff Peterson joining us with Heartland Farm Partners on the American Ag Network.